1 Corinthians chapter 10, we continue our study of this book of 1 Corinthians. Title of the message, of course, today is Do All to the Glory of God. That's what Vacation Bible School is about, right? It's the glory of God. And sometimes we lose sight of that in all ministries. You know, we forget why we do what we do. And so today's about getting back to why we do what we do. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 will be our beginning. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it. For the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews, to the Greeks, or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, guide our thoughts as we examine this, your word. Speak to us, Lord, through your word, that we may know you, that we may be drawn to you, that we may take what you have prepared for us today and grow as your servants. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the great love wherein you have loved us. Now we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Do all to the glory of God. That's just a really cool phrase, isn't it? It just sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't it? But what does it mean? I mean, what does it look like? And that's what I want to talk about today is, you know, we have, there are phrases and scriptures like that that we have, and it sounds really good, but do we really know how? So when this is used, do all to the glory of God, the first thing we're going to do is live to edify the brethren. Live to edify the brethren or believers, right? And Paul said in the beginning of this, in the beginning of the text today, he said, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now, there's three things, the three words I want to give you the definitions for so we'll know how to progress here. When Paul says all things are lawful, that means very simply allowable. Now, that may have been a commonly used phrase in Corinth, well, it's lawful, you know, and for justifying people's acts. And it may refer to the law of Moses, you know. It depends on if you're a Jew or Gentile there, how you would have applied that. But the idea of it is that most things were not illegal. You were allowed to do a lot of things. Not unlike it is today, you know? There are a lot of things that are legal, but it doesn't mean you should do it, right? So Paul opens with, all things are lawful or allowable, but not all things are helpful. Now that word helpful, it means appropriate, something that's appropriate for achieving a particular goal. It means that you're doing what you're doing with a goal in mind. So all things are lawful, but not all things will help you reach the goal that you're trying to reach. What is the goal? Well, edification. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. That's the third definition I want to give you. That word edify, it means to build up. And what was going on? The reason for Paul's writing here is the Corinthians, some of the Corinthians were exercising their liberty in the gospel, and they were eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Right? And so, which was perfectly allowable under the New Testament. Right? As a matter of fact, Paul previously had told them, an idol cannot corrupt meat. Meat's meat. Go ahead and eat it, right? But the problem was, there were legalists who took offense, and it was like, you're eating meat that was involved in sacrificing to an idol. Oh my goodness, what a terrible sin. And so the legalists would point that finger and take offense, and let's call the other side liberals, okay? The liberals would say, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's not illegal. It's not wrong. Nowhere are we told that we're not allowed to do that. I'm going to eat the meat. Besides that, I get it at a discount price and I'm going to save money. I don't care what you say. So there was a standoff. Legal versus the liberal. Now, liberal, you understand I'm not saying, when I use that word, I'm not talking about the way it's used today, right? The liberals are the far left wing. That's not what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about your liberty in Christ. And that's biblical. Now, this standoff was creating a problem in the church at Corinth, and so Paul gives the answer. And he responds to that standoff, and he says, okay, here's what you do. Whether you're legalist or you're a liberal, here's what you do. You go to the meat market and you buy what's sold. Do not ask any questions. Take it home and eat it. I'm sure the legalist would say at this point, yeah, but how are you going to know whether it's sacrificed to idols or not? To which Paul would say, so what? So what? It doesn't matter. Go buy your meat, take it home and eat it. Don't ask questions. He said, if the unbeliever invites you to their home and sets meat before you, don't ask any questions. Eat it. He said, but when someone says this meat was offered to idols, then do not eat it. Why? Because, obviously, the person that told you that had a problem with that meat being sacrificed to idols. And you see, it all focuses on the one phrase in verse 24. Are you with me? Because this is what you've got to get hold of. Verse 24 says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Right? You want to not be a legalist? Here's your verse. You want to not offend people with your liberality? Here's your verse. Don't look at you, look at others. So let's talk about legalism and liberalism for a moment, or liberals for a moment. The legalist is all about keeping the rules. Okay? You ever met a legalist? If you were raised in church, you probably got a little legalism in you. You know, I mean, let's just be real here. But to the legalist, it's all about keeping the rules. But here's the problem with legalism. We look at everybody and we say, you did that? Oh my goodness, I can't believe you did that. Don't you know that's wrong? But the real problem is that we have all these rules that we don't live up to ourselves. That's the problem with legalism. And it always comes back to us and deep down, and we paint this big picture. We want everybody to think, I have my act together. I'm good. I do like I'm supposed to do all the time, which is just not correct. But when we're in private, there's this finger pointing back at us, says, you know what's down there. You know the thoughts, the actions, how you conducted yourself when no one was looking. You know all those things. And so legalists get, well, for lack of a better way, they get a little bitter. I mean, they're the old Baptists that sit in a pew and they're like, and you think, where's the joy? Problem is, the legalism side has robbed you of that joy. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anybody can do anything they want to do. That's not the point. I'm saying your faith cannot be all about thou shalt not. Okay? There's no joy there. That's the first problem with the legalist. Second problem with the legalist is that a lot of what they have established as rules, they cannot back up with Scripture. You want to make a legalist angry? Say, show me where that is in the Bible. Well, I don't know where it is, but it's in there somewhere. No, it's not. Most of the time, it's not. But then there's the liberal. The liberal says, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, that's not an attitude of faith. The problem with that is, it's me-centered. It's all about me. I'm going to do. This is what I want. And the problem we have with liberalism today is, churches are promoting that. And they're trying to lure people in with, it's all about you. And that's just wrong. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about God. And us living to the glory of God. See, both those positions, whether, you know, you're that liberal or you're that legalist, both those positions can be wrong. And they can hurt the faith of other people. And I will tell you this, to the legalist, if you can't back up your position with the Scripture, that's not a hill to die on. You may not like some things. That's okay. Deal with it. There are a lot of things in life we don't like, right? If you can't back it up with Scripture, now don't get me wrong. Again, there are a lot of things that God has made perfectly clear in His Word we need to avoid. But we don't need to add to or take away from what's in the Word of God. Okay? If you can't back it up with Scripture, don't make it a hill to die on. That's for the legalist. Number two, for the liberal, if your actions offend, don't do it while you're around that believer that you're offending. Whatever those actions are, if you're comfortable and you know whatever I'm doing at this point is not wrong. It's not specified in the Scripture and but you also know that this person over here is offended, takes exception to what you're doing. What does the mature believer do? He says, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to offend these believers over here. Now, when you're in other company, whatever, but don't live to offend. You say, Brother Doug, isn't that being a hypocrite? No, that's not being a hypocrite. That's simply being considerate of a fellow believer. You see, we're here to edify one another, to build up. And when you alienate another believer, whether he's a legalist or he's a liberal, when you alienate that individual, you're not going to build him up. You're going to tear him down. And then you're going to hear things that, like, if that's what faith is, I don't want any part of that. You'll hear people respond like, if that's what you believe, I'm not coming to that church. There are mountains of people that have mountains of excuses for not being in church because God's people, either being a legalist or a liberal, has offended and turned them out the door. Paul's saying, don't do it. Paul's saying, don't, no. Don't do that. You see, you're not here to exercise your liberty, and you're not here to rule over other people and bring them under your laws. You're here to build the church. Therefore, we've got to be able to look at others and say, will my actions help you grow in the Lord? Or will it cause you to flee from the Lord? You see, that's all Paul's trying to say here. It gets down to this. It's not about you keeping rules. It's not about you exercising your liberty. It's about you living for the glory of God. Okay? That's what he said in verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This has to be our motivation, not rules and not exercising liberties, but all we do for the glory of God. Can you imagine? If you come to that point where you're not about just keeping rules, but you're living and conducting yourself for the glory of God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start to flourish. And that frown's going to turn upside down. You'll say, you know, this Christian thing's not bad. Jesus didn't save me so he could put me under bondage. He set me free from the bondage of sin. You know, I don't want to not do things because I have to not do them. I want to do things for the glory of the God who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know? See, you can, if you can get over the thou shalt nots, and again, I'm not saying go do anything you want. I'm not. I'm saying you got to get over the legalism side of it. That was the problem in the New Testament with the Jews. They couldn't get over that Old Testament legalist mindset. But likewise, you've also got to get over the liberal mindset of it's all about me. No. Because when you come to that point where you realize it's not about me, then you're not offended when all eyes are not on you. And in both cases, there is joy and fulfillment. See, that's the difference. That's where Paul is trying to bring this church at Corinth. So if you do all for the glory of God, what's he talking about there? Well, let's take a past look at the glory of God. You know, in the Old Testament, how was God's glory displayed? Well, there's a Jewish word, Shekinah glory. It's not a scriptural word. It's not in the Bible. But that was what the Jews used to describe the presence of God in the Old Testament tabernacle. That, for lack of a better way to put it, it would glow. People knew that God was there because the radiance of the presence of God was evident to the entire camp. Moses, he asked to see the glory of God. You know, he said, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, I can't show you my glory. It would kill you. It's so great, you know. And so when Moses said, show me your glory, God said, I'll tell you what, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, put my hand over you, I'll pass by, and after I pass by, I'll remove my hand, you can get a glimpse. But the point was, that glory was to be visible. Okay. Even Jesus, glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John saw that. It was something to be observed. The point when Paul says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, and then you understand the glory of God is about people seeing the radiance and awesomeness of God, then you've got to ask yourself, How does people today, that was the Old Testament with the Shekinah glory of the temple, how does people today see the glory of God? I'm glad you ask. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto Him be glory, where? Oh, come on, we can do that better. Ephesians 3:21. To Him be glory in where? The church. What's the church? That's not the building. That's us. Unto Him be glory in the church. The world is supposed to see the glory of God as they look at you. We are a manifestation, or we're supposed to be a manifestation of the glory of God for all the world to see. That as they look at us, as they see our conduct, they say, wow, His God is an awesome God. Wow, how is He always so joyful? How is He always so enjoyable to be around? How is He the way He is? And then you say, I'm the way I am because of the God whom I serve. That's all Paul's talking about here. That the world see how glorious God is. But they're not going to see how glorious God is until we determine within ourselves that we're not exercising liberties and we're not living by a bunch of rules. We're living so that the world can see God living in me. That's the point. That's this whole point. You see, we have to live, number three, not to profit ourselves, but to profit many. That's what Paul said in verse 33. But to the profit of many. Just before that, Paul said in verse 32, give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Key word is give no offense. Who are you not supposed to offend? Anybody. You got to be kidding me, Brother Doug. No. You see, you have to understand, when you offend, whether it's on the legalism side or the liberal side, when you offend, what you do is you slam the door of ministry opportunity. That's what Paul knew. If I offend, you know, and I'll just. Suffice it to say, that's not okay. I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to speak my mind. No, you don't need to speak your mind. You need to speak the mind of Christ. I'm going to do what I'm going to... No, you don't need to do what you... You need to do what Christ would lead you to do. You see, that's what Paul did. Now imagine this. Paul, he was in Athens in Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, it says that Paul's spirit was provoked. You know what that word provoke means? It means to stir up. It means to agitate. It means to irritate. And it says that Paul's spirit was provoked when he saw them given over to idols. He was walking through Athens, and everywhere he looked was an idol. And the longer he looked, the more provoked he became. And I can just imagine the Apostle Paul. He's bubbling on the inside. He's saying, I'd like to stand somewhere and tell every Athenian that they're going to split hell wide open if they don't get rid of these idols. That's not what he did. You know what he did? It's pretty amazing. You see, some of them wanted to hear what Paul had to say. And so they call Paul. Said, Paul, we want to hear you. And then there were others that said, let's bring him in and see what this babbler has to say. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody wanted to hear me and they call me I just want to hear you because you're a babbler. What would you do? I'd turn around and go the other way, most likely. I'm not going to tell you anything. See, that word babbler, it literally means a scavenger. And what they're saying about Paul is he's just this guy that's picking up bits and pieces from other people. And he doesn't have an opinion or a philosophy of himself. This is just something he's heard bits and pieces from other people. Very offensive. And you know what Paul did? Paul got up before that group at Athens and he said, guys, I perceive that you are very religious. Again, he didn't say, you're going to split hell wide open. He said, guys, I perceive that you're very religious. Why did he do that? Because he was opening the door to ministry. And he went on and he said, you know, I saw a lot of gods. But I saw one statue or one shrine that was to a god that was labeled as the unknown god. He said, guys, you have a lot of gods. But I want to tell you about the unknown god. I want to tell you who he is. And so you know what he did? He began to preach Jesus to them. Isn't that neat? Isn't that cool? When he had every reason to just explode on them and jump in on them with both feet, he said, guys, let me tell you about the unknown God. Why did he do that? He did that not to offend. The reason he didn't want to offend is because his need to tell them about Jesus was greater than his need to be elevated and his pride and people look at him like he was somebody. He didn't need those things. He needed to tell them about Jesus. Isn't that what we should be? That's Paul's point here. Stay focused. You're here to live to the glory of God. Paul's last line there was that they may be saved. Everyone we meet is an opportunity. Have you ever known people to blow opportunities? You know, our children, when they were in college, we told them, kids, you've done well. You've got a scholarship. You lose that scholarship, you are on your own because mom and dad cannot afford to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to get you through college. We raised you and we pushed you so that you could have this scholarship. Now it's up to you. Don't blow it and lose your scholarship. One of them blew it. And he paid the price, you know. Then he had to pay for that 4-year degree. But you know, as I read this, I've got to think, how many opportunities have I blown through the years? How many ministry doors have I slammed closed because of pride, because of self-seeking? How many people could have heard about the Jesus that I serve, but I was too lazy to tell them or too busy to tell them? How many people have I offended by taking exception with their conduct because their conduct was something that I wholeheartedly disagree with? You know that's not okay. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. What a declaration. That meant that Paul had told everyone he possibly could about Jesus Christ. Paul was good at taking advantage of the opportunity that God had set before him. You know, I look at the opportunities of this church. Opportunities that God has set before us. I look at college ministry. College students are gone right now, you know, they're at home. But this fall, they'll be coming back. They're an opportunity for us as a church. I look at the teens today. Brother Josh doing a wonderful job with those teens. But you know what? I see it an opportunity for us as a church to live for the glory of God and make sure those teens are taught about who Jesus is. I look at Vacation Bible School today, and you know, people are excited, and rightly so. Things look wonderfully and well prepared, and I'm excited myself. But it's not just about going through 4 days of classes and chasing kids. It's about taking advantage of the opportunity that God has set before us. Vacation Bible School workers, remember that this week. Those who are not involved in Vacation Bible School, you can still be involved. How? Pray. Pray. May this entire community know that the goal of Victory Missionary Baptist Church is to exist to the glory of God so that through the glory of God, lost souls can be saved. That's our point. You see, if we get away from that, we've lost sight of our purpose. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me just share this. You need to be saved. Oh, now, Brother Doug, I will one of these days. No, listen. Today's the day of salvation. That's Bible. Why should you today? Because you don't know if you're going to live through the day. Right? You've got to prepare. See, there is a heaven, there is a hell. And I promise you this, God will not send anyone to hell. But you will choose. There are people who choose to go to hell. So what are you talking about, Brother Doug? People reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Right? And when you reject Jesus, you have rejected the only avenue that there is to heaven. You have chosen hell. What God has done has given, you know, people don't understand this. People are already bound for hell. What God has done is given an avenue to heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the Bible tells us Jesus didn't come to condemn the world because the world was already condemned. He came to give you forgiveness of sin, so that you can know the joy of life, so that you can know the joy of living beyond this life. If you're not saved, I want to just ask you, please, 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 will you come to Jesus today? Maybe you're here and there's another need. God's calling you to a ministry. Maybe you're here and you just need to repent because you've not been living as you should. Whatever your need is, now's the time to do business with Jesus. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Take care of it today as we have this verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we praise you. You are a wonderful God. Sometimes we forget why we're here. We forget that we're here to live for your glory. That the world may see what an awesome God that you are by the life that we live. Heavenly Father, as we come to this invitation, I pray your will be done. You know the ones who need to make a move. I pray you'd stir their hearts and they would make that move. And Lord, we will give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.